WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flat with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Almost a Bears win. This is WTR, Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR.chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy South Park and more. Because hashtag epic partner. We're going to erase more things from history. Just like Bears fans want to do right now on this edition of WTR Sunday Night. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
For those who don't know, I'm just going to tell you right now, Seth hates football.
Do you think he was there?
He may have been, but I don't know. They may have had him in the studio, so.
No, he's not.
I didn't
not,
see
no,
any of the pregame stuff.
He's not. There was no. He didn't do any pregame stuff, so no. So who knows? But
he may have been
football.
in a booth.
Yeah, probably in a box somewhere. That's okay.
He may have injured the other shoulder.
Throw something really, really hard. Because football. There was one really insane throw. That I don't know how
the one
make
at the
it.
End of the fourth.
Yeah,
where he's going backwards and threw it 40 yards on a dime. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And it was only a 14-yard pass, officially.
Because he kept running backwards.
Anyway, we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that'd be me, and I don't know, is my heart supposed to go out to everybody whose team's lost or might be losing?
Sure.
Well, too bad, because it doesn't. So there. Anyway, yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Red Video right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on twitch.tv/WTR Live. We got a chat room. Come in. Talk. We'll talk back. Like,
exactly.
When you talk, it'll be like typing talk, but when we talk, it'll be actual audio, because we have the microphones, and you will listen to every single word we have to say.
Or you can mute Tim, whatever you want
to
do.
Or you can try to mute me, but it won't work, because whatever.
I'm the only one who can.
Well, technically, they can mute him. They just turn all the audio down.
They would turn all the audio.
Try and hope that he's done by the time they come back.
But default, you're muted as well, so they'll never know when I'm done talking.
True, or I could just hit a button, and then you would be quiet to them, even if you're trying to talk. I have that power. Exactly.
Don't do that.
I mean, I could, but we're not going to do it. A couple housekeeping things. The Royal Rumble entry contest has started. All you got to do is say, I'm in. The drawing will be next Sunday on the show. So get tell some people. We have a few spots left. Tag them on Twitter and tag us, and then they could be in. Just say, I'm in. Like Lindsay just said.
What if I don't say I'm in?
You're a host. You're already in.
God damn it. Okay.
We go through this every year.
It's by default, Brent.
You're already in by default.
Every year, I usually just do it just to spite rock.
Yeah, I know. But here we are. All right. Last week was a lot of fun. We erased some things from wrestling history. So I still have a list. So we might as well get through some more of it tonight.
So Goldberg doesn't exist now, right? That's what we
decided. I believe that's what we decided last week. Goldberg is no longer a part of wrestling history. And yes, she did rub in the fact that the Eagles lost for an entire week. That's exactly what Sarah did. Yes. Anyway, to erase some stuff.
You don't have to rub in much.
So now we talk about wrestling history. We start off with Chris Jericho debuting for the WWF, or Lex Luger joining WCW on Monday Nitro. Which would you remove, Brent?
Okay, this is going to sound really awful to say. I would remove Lex Luger because when you look back on history, like Jericho joining WWF at the time, he was on the rise in WCW, but he was always kind of stuck in the middle. And he had that bit with Goldberg at the very end where it was, he was amassing his own undefeated streak of Goldberg because, you know, oh, I would have him scheduled for a match, but he wasn't here, so therefore, I win! And he had moments where it's like, you could tell that he was on pace to kind of take that next step, but he was never going to be the world title holder in WCW because everything that was in place ahead of him. But what happens? He makes his debut on Raw and you make it against one of the bigger talkers that you could have. And they have that great exchange back and forth. You know, it doesn't matter what your name is. Jericho gets the countdown, all of that. I remember watching Luger live on the first Monday Nitro from the Mall of America. It had sweet fuck all impression on me, and especially because Luger was coming back to WCW. It wasn't a huge debut, it was, oh look, he's back. And from that, it felt still that it was like, it never felt up to the same level. Luger, yes, world title holder. Yes, he's involved in storylines, but at the same time, like, this is the same guy that was with Buff and stuff. And I would say Jericho has a much bigger impression in terms of wrestling history, and therefore that's why I would eliminate Luger's return on Monday Nitro.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm eliminating Lex Luger's return to WCW. To me, it comes across like the number one overall draft pick in a really weak draft year that turns out to not live up to the hype.
But if you take away Luger, he was the launching point for the unpredictability of the first ever Monday Nitro, the launching point for others to jump over following him. So without you remove him, I don't think others jump. Nitro doesn't get the big start it does without, oh my God, it's Lex Luger. He was just on WWF television, and now he's in WCW.
Yeah, maybe not. What year did Jericho move over to Raw?
1999.
Who from WCW, big name, showed up before him on the WWF programming?
That I couldn't tell you.
Exactly. But because, you know, because, Jericho, you know, huh?
Because when you look at that, right after Jericho were a lot more WCW names that came over from WCW to the WWF.
Yes, exactly. It was almost like he was the spearhead for the beginning of the decline of WCW.
But Luger did the same thing.
Not the beginning, but the spearhead for the main push. Like Vince McMahon being the evil guy, Mr. McMahon. The birth of his character was the 1997 Montreal Screwjob. He didn't quite lean into that very hard for a little bit, but that was like the genesis, the birth of it. Stone Cold Steve Austin was made at WrestleMania 13 against Bret Hart. But it wasn't until King of the Ring that he exploded. Jericho, with the entrance that he had, and you've got to admit, the countdown, the anticipation, the buildup, something that we've never seen before, really, at that level for a debuting or an incoming. It had everybody talking. Nobody knew what was going on. People were guessing this guy, that guy, this, the other thing. Break the Walls down, absolutely ginormous. And like Brent said, going up against one of your top names in the company at that time, going toe-to-toe on the microphone with The Rock. Look out. They hyped him up. They pumped him up. Everybody, because of the way they presented it, exploded when he showed up. And it was an absolutely huge thing in comparison to Lex Luger. Oh, hey, oh, I'm back. And you know, and look at the unpredictability of WCW Monday Nitro. And then, yeah, whatever. That takes second place. It's a backseat. So it's out of here.
For our next one, Evolution turns on Randy Orton. Or Evolution turns on, or Batista turns on Evolution.
Oh, shit.
Well, Tim's first.
Why? Just because I said, oh, shit, before you...
No, because Brent...
Because I went first last time.
Yeah, Brent went first on the first one. That's fine.
But also, yes, you open your mouth like that. Usually it's, all right, go.
Yeah. Also, yes. That's a tough one. Both of them were really good moments with the Evolution faction. As huge as it was, Batista turning his back on Evolution, I got to kick that to the wayside because Evolution turning their back on Randy Orton basically made him, okay. I think. Like, again, this is my personal opinion. It hit bigger to me and instantly made me a huge fan of Randy. He was like, come on, Randy, get your revenge. Get your revenge.
Okay. Right.
I think to me, the bigger moment and the thing I think that helped someone more was the Batista quote unquote turn. Because when Evolution turned on Randy, Randy had just won the belt as a heel against John, correct?
Wait, what?
When did Randy get the first title from?
Redacted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, redacted. That was good.
But Randy was a heel in that moment.
Yes.
And Evolution turning on him was turning him face, but it also felt really weird, if I remember correctly, because you're like, but he just, and now, and it just, I don't know, there was something weird about that moment, and yes, it set Randy off as a solo at that point, but Batista turning on Hunter and Flair, you know, getting the contract, and he has the thumb up, and then you just see the face change, and it slowly turns down. And the look on Hunter and Flair's face upon that, knowing that they're ultimately screwed. And from there, elevating Batista to the single status and really kind of pushing him up. Because I want to say Randy, when he first started off as a single, it wasn't that great trajectory to the moon.
No,
he kind of had a holding pattern for a little bit and was like, okay, he got the title, he did this, all right, now what do we do with him? When they took that moment with Batista, they strapped the rocket to his ass and were like, that's it, you're up in the main now, have fun.
Pretty much, but if you remove Randy's being turned on by Evolution, does the Batista one even happen?
Yes, because I think the Batista one still does, and I think Randy Orton, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think in the moment with Evolution, the first turn, it's not like if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't turn now, he never does. I think the moment is big there because it breaks up one of the bigger factions that was going on at the time, but Randy is young, he's got the talent, he's going to kind of take that step. It's just a matter of how much further down the line is it going to be. I think he still gets to the level that he is now without that moment if you were to remove it. I don't know if Batista gets to where he wants to be if you don't capitalize at the moment that they do. So when I look at this, it's okay, if I remove this from history, I understand it has a ripple effect down the way, but it's also, if you remove this, does this mean X doesn't happen ever? Or does it mean that it takes so much longer to get there? And with Randy, I don't think it is as detrimental in the long run with everything considered as it would be like if Batista went for Taker in that moment. I don't know if it has the same momentum and same feel behind it that it does he goes after Hunter.
Do you erase the original ECW One Night Stand?
Oh, 2005?
2005. Or the original All In pay-per-view?
Oh.
Because both kind of genesis other things.
Both kickstarted something. Okay, I'm going to caveat this. I was not a huge ECW person.
You don't have to be.
I understand. I think ECW's One Night Stand was a huge moment because as much as it was fan service, it wasn't fan service, if that makes sense. Like, they placated to the fans, but it was a very good show in its own right, as opposed to just, we're doing this for the straight money grab, that's it. I think they put on a, you know, they let the show happen. It's like, all right, we're going to do this one-off ECW show. And it took off. And everyone went, oh, we may need to do a second one of these.
Which led to it bringing the brand back.
Yeah. And I hate to say this. I think that is one of the bigger things that's a knock on it. Because even though you brought back the ECW brand, it falls in line with the second One Night Stand, which was a WWE version of ECW. The first One Night Stand was ECW. It had the feel, it had all of that, you know, that the fans of ECW wanted, and they got it. You know, you got the Mike Awesome and Tanaka match in the way it was supposed to be. You got Benoit and Jericho fighting in, I'm sorry, Redacted and Guerrero fighting in, you know, what would be a standard wrestling match that you would get on ECW at its heart. And you were kind of like, okay, you got the Lucha Libre with Rey Mysterio and Psychosis. You got all of that there. And it spearheaded the ECW rebirth, but from that, it wasn't ECW, if that makes sense.
But what it was a launching point for new talent.
Right. I mean, you still got a lot of good out of ECW on TNT.
Sci-fi.
On sci-fi, you're right, sci-fi. And no, we're not talking about the zombie, even though that is one of the bigger things that came out of it. But no, you got like Kelly, you got CM Punk, you got, you know, Christian and John Morrison to be able to be world champions.
Launching point for the Miz, Sheamus.
Bobby Lashley.
Yep.
You know, so you saw the turn of, you saw the Big Show as an ECW champion. I mean, hell, you had the greatest ECW champion of all time, the current reigning, defending, undisputed ECW champion of all time, Ezekiel Jackson. Yes, I had to throw that in there.
You did. But
So there's that. However, and Rock knows I am very critical of this organization with a lot of things, but I will give them credit. The first All In, taking their chance to put together a stadium show of 10,000 people in a non, like, organized federation capacity. It was them going out to all the people that were not signed by the Fed and being like, hey, we're going to do this. We want you a part of it. And when you look at that card, I mean, you had some big names as part of it as well. You know, you had the, if I remember correctly, I think it was the Lucha Bros and Rey Mysterio. You had, you know, Kenny Omega, which for some people may have been the first time that you really got to see Kenny Omega on the U.S. soil. You know, before, you're, you know, aside from the stints in OVW and some other things. You had your first introduction to MJF on a big stage. You got the four-way match of Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker, Chelsea Green, and Madison Rayne. Cody got to finish his initial story in winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. You had a lot of things in place here, and it has kickstarted the legitimate number two, I would put, as AEW. Now, I do say number two because they do compete, they do put up good numbers. They're still not up to the level of WWE, in my opinion, in terms of revenue, in terms of market share, in terms of everything. And I say that because WWE has, like, the contracts with ESPN, Netflix, all of those, you know, making bank off of them. Right, Rock? Do you think AEW fan was a little bit nervous about all that talk with Warner Brothers distribution recently? Just a skosh, because it's one of those things of, if Warner Brothers ends up on Netflix, Netflix is going to go, we already have the WWE. Why do we need this other company? And that TV deal is the thing that is keeping them afloat. Well, It's a thing that provides a lot of revenue for them. If they have to struggle to find a new television deal, that's going to severely limit them in a big way. So even though I loved the first One Night Stand, and I think it had a big moment in terms of the ECW renaissance, I think you also had movements like, what was Shane Douglas's thing? Hardcore Heaven? That's Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore. But like,
Hardcore Forever or something, I don't know.
Yeah, you had these things that it was like, they came about to also encapsulate like that love of ECW. You had the TNA like branching out and having the hardcore specials with the ECW guys.
But that wouldn't have happened without One Night Stand.
I get well,
TNA would have revived TNA. No, they wouldn't have. TNA wouldn't have done ECW shows without One Night Stand being a thing.
I think they would have found a way. I think you would have still had someone like a Shane Douglas trying to put together ECW light events and going about not naming it, you know, ECW the way they still do, because of course they don't own the rights to the name. But I think there were still little things there. I think the stars aligned at the right time in the proper way for All In to hit and for it to generate what was needed to create AEW.
Okay.
I think more had to come together for that and create the bigger moment to generate AEW then. I think, again, and sometimes it's the, like, if you remove this event, does this mean things will never happen? Do I think that there wouldn't have ever been ECW resurgences? I think there would have been. I don't know if it would be up to the level. But I don't know if you pull out, if you don't pull off All in the way that they did, if we're having the conversation about AEW currently, and even things like TNA's interaction with WWE and people being able to go between the number of companies that they are, we may just be talking about the ultimate WWE monopoly right now if All In does not take place. Because ROH was already dying, TNA's struggling, and if those two go away, there's nothing in place for WWE, and we're possibly dealing with really bad wrestling right now as a whole, because there's no competition.
One opinion, Tim.
Well, hard for me to come up with anything that Brett hasn't already said. I mean, One Night Stand. What was the main event?
It was Dudley's versus Sandman and Tommy Dreamer. It was for the One Night Stand one.
Yeah. Retrospection here. Looking back, One Night Stand was like exceeding hype for the resurrection of something that was dismal because the original owner wasn't put in charge of booking the product. And as a result, we got WWE CW, which was an absolute, in my opinion, joke. Being in Canada, we didn't get a shit ton of original ECW programming, so you had to be diligent to be able to find it up here. And when you found it, you did nothing while it was on, and you took it in. It was, you know, the alternative's alternative for professional wrestling entertainment. And ECW was a big deal for wrestlers on the indie scenes, the small little local shows going on. Because as much as WWF at the time, WWE, was the show, you know, just like you're in AAA and your goal is to hit MLB, ECW was a dream destination point for a lot of the indie guys. Whether they wanted to use that as a stepping stone or not, hard to say. But it overpromised and underdelivered. The event itself was fantastic. What can I say about All In that intern hasn't said? Brent, seriously, you talk too much because you take words out of my mouth.
But they're the right words, so therefore I still win.
They're the right words, but if they're the words I was going to use, then it's a draw. And so that's all there is to it. No, All In, it was a launching pad, pretty much. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What is AEW today? You've already said it. Go ahead, say it again.
The definite number two.
The solid alternative, right?
Mm-hmm.
AEW is Pepsi, where WWE is Coca-Cola. And amazingly enough, the fandom is split almost exactly the same way. But it's like, if you're a fan of wrestling, be a fan of wrestling. Don't be a fanboy of one company over the other. you can enjoy AEW if you're into 12 hours of pay-per-view programming once a month. It's the only complaint that I have with AEW is their pay-per-views have too much going on. You can't have too much of a good thing. As much as I enjoyed One Night Stand and the nostalgia that it was for the original ECW fans and everything, it really didn't lead to anything meaningful. Honestly, it really didn't. All In kind of, pardon the pun, set the stage. So it's very reluctantly that I eliminate One Night Stand.
For this next one, do you want a serious one or do you want a silly one?
Flip a coin.
No, I mean, make a pick because you're answering first. Brent?
Oh, I'm answering first.
Yeah.
Well, we've been pretty serious for the last two shows so far, with one or two exceptions. Let's go silly.
All right. Option one, Triple H's coffin activities with Katie Vick. Or number two, the Big Boss Man being hung at WrestleMania 15.
All right. Just without even thinking about it and humming and hawing, get rid of the Katie Vick coffin thing. That was absolute bullshit. You know, they even had Shawn Michaels come on and talk to what's his name. What, does that offend you as a Christian? No, it offends me as a wrestling fan. What was that? Was garbage. Big Boss Man being hanged. Well, it wasn't the best storyline / payoff, but at least it was wrestling ish.
Is it though? Is hanging someone from a cell wrestling ish?
Rock, for a second, I thought you were going to do Katie Vick versus the Funeral of 3D.
No, one was actually good.
I thought you were going to go funerals and go which one was, you know, like wrestling weddings. Which wrestling wedding would you get rid of? That kind of thing.
Hey, he could have done Katie Vick versus Vince McMahon's limo blowing up.
I could have, but who wants to talk about that? Brent?
Well, that under Taboo Tuesday.
Okay, so Katie Vick and the other was Boss Man?
Yes, being hung.
From a pure wrestling standpoint, I would keep the Boss Man because that had more impetus in terms of things like the corporate ministry and advancing things like that. The Katie Vick storyline. Actually, wait, Rock, I have the perfect example for what the if you were going to put something else against Katie Vick, that's more appropriate. Claire Lynch. Okay. Both of those were awful. But with Katie Vick, it was the, like, you had the storyline that was hanging out there for a while of, like, you know, Kane's done these horrible things and he started to drop, you know, what happened, you know, well, what happened with Katie? And it was just like, all right, so he killed her in a car crash. It's like, okay. Then they took it that next step, which is of course what we're all talking about and why we're kind of like about this one. And I want to say, like, when that happened, like Tim alluded to, it got so many people that were just like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I don't care about this story. I just want it over. And if I remember correctly, like, nothing much came from it afterwards. It's like, they did the bit where he visited the funeral home, and then it's like, they realized, like, all right, this didn't work. We're gonna just cut bait.
Yeah, the Canadian broadcast of that episode was absolutely chopped up, and they did something unprecedented, is they put it on a delay. Like, they put Raw on a delay that night, and they edited and censored the shit out of it. I don't know if it was like not decency laws, but like good taste laws or whatever.
And with the Boss Man, it's like, okay, he got hung in Hell in a Cell. It's not the greatest moment either, because yeah, you don't want to, you don't see that and go, oh, all right, they just hung a dude. Well, on to the next match. But again, at least with that, there was something more that came from it, and it was like, you know, yes, they built out the ministry more, and then it became the corporate ministry, and, you know, you had people crucified as part of that as well, but you were able to advance from the Boss Man hanging. But when Katie Vick happened, it's like, nope, they just had to completely, that's it, we're done with it, we're not going, you know. And I mean, I know it's a punchline in terms of things like Dr. Shelby, and when Kane's going over his history, he mentions, you know, Katie. But it's one of those things of, like, if you remember, then you're like, oh God, yeah. But otherwise, it's just like a throwaway line. So if I have to get rid of anything, it's Katie Vick.
Yeah, we weren't there. We were in the other chat.
Whoops.
Okay. Anyway.
I blame Brent because, like, he was driving.
That's fine. You can blame me. I'm used to it.
I just did.
All right, Brent, you're up now. Would you remove Kofi Mania, a.k.a. Kofi Kingston winning the WWE title at WrestleMania, or Daniel Bryan's Yes Movement and winning the WWE title at WrestleMania?
Oh, all right. You know I always like to stick up for Kofi Mania. It was a great WrestleMania moment. It was 11 years of toil from Kofi to get to that point. And he got that you had the gauntlet match with New Day helping him earn that shot, because they basically, everyone told them, you're not getting this title shot. Brian told him he's not getting the title shot. And yet the New Day fought for him. You had the Usos forfeit their spot out of respect for the New Day. And then you had the match where, the Planet's Championship finally disappeared and we got the old belt back. Surprise, surprise. It was under the tarp the whole time next to the ring. And then Kofi had a little bit of a run with the belt, and then he ran into Brock Lesnar and got annihilated in, 30 seconds. That's all great. It's wonderful. As Rock likes to point out, it is a fantastic WrestleMania moment, but the storyline after that, especially because, part of that title defense for Kofi was going up against Dolph Ziggler, which, no offense to Dolph, I don't know if that's the greatest, tune-up for your world championship run is to keep facing Dolph Ziggler and one more time. I think the Daniel Bryan Yes Movement and getting to WrestleMania 30 and pulling off, two matches in one night. And those are two good matches, too. His match with Hunter to start the show was fantastic and set him up to be, having to overcome the second match with Randy and Batista to win the match and get the title ultimately. I think from that and kind of what Brian kind of did afterwards, I know that there was still a lot of the, he had lingering issues and then he'd have to retire. But I think, yes, the Yes Movement and all the stuff that came from it, John championing Daniel Bryan as well and things with that, I think that ultimately is a bigger moment and bigger piece of wrestling history than the Kofi Mania situation. And again, great piece of history. It's well deserved for someone who put in the time and effort that Kofi had. But I think Daniel Bryan, aka Bryan Danielson, had to overcome a little bit more in terms of things like the 18-second WrestleMania match with Sheamus in his first run as world champion. And he took things like Team Hell No and ran with it, which kind of helped elevate him to that point of maybe he can get a shot. So I would say Daniel Bryan is the moment I would keep of the two.
Okay. What about you?
I'm keeping the Daniel Bryan moment myself. They did Kofi dirty, and yeah, it was great that they finally put the big title on somebody like Kofi. But they just did him dirty with that thing. And yeah, I get it. You're going up against Brock Lesnar. If it's not a squash match when you're somebody like Kofi Kingston, it really probably doesn't make sense, but Daniel Bryan was just the bigger moment overall for everything. It was a bigger struggle to get there. It was winning the title was the bigger underdog story overall, and it just meant more. So I'm getting rid of Kofi Kingston.
All right, and one last one before we go to Tim. On one side, the CM Punk pipe bomb.
Oh shit. I say oh shit because I'm scared of what you're putting it up against.
The Montreal Screwjob.
Oh. I want to get rid of the Montreal Screwjob because it was bullshit to begin with.
But that changes wrestling forever.
But that changes, that does change wrestling
forever. That gets rid of your Attitude Era right there.
It not necessarily gets rid of the Attitude Era, but it changes it. Does Vince McMahon become the Mr. McMahon character? Does Brett go to WCW while Owen's still in WWF? And does Owen pass away at Kemper Arena during the pay-per-view, right? That's extremely impactful. And everything you argue for keeping the Montreal Screwjob is an argument to get rid of it when you stop and you think about it. Almost every argument for applies in the exact same way against. The CM pipe bomb, excellent storytelling, but they effed it up. The pipe bomb is worked shoot. It's not like it wasn't at least sketched out. They ended it way too soon. They could have stretched that some bitch out like crazy and even let Punk work other promotions. Now that would have been something. That could have been absolutely huge. So this to me is a kick in the nuts, really. But just because of it being such a huge, huge focal point in the history, modern history of professional wrestling, you've got to keep the Montreal Screwjob.
Counter argument for the pipe bomb. That's what CM Punk became known for. It became his legacy.
It became one person's legacy. The Montreal Screwjob became the legacy of two promotions and dozens of wrestlers.
You could say about the
needs of the men, the needs of the many outweighing the needs of the one.
I mean, just for fun, I'll take the counterpoint, Rock.
Okay.
Just to stretch us out. So yes, you have the Montreal Screwjob and things that came from it, you know, Brett. Now the question is the Screwjob, does it even happen if Brett gives up, you know, if he agrees to drop the title that night? Because we all know, story, Brett did not want to drop it in Canada. He wanted to do it like, well, what if I do it the next night on Raw? Or
okay, No. I'm stopping you right there. Okay, that is absolutely 100% incorrect. And it's been going around and gaining momentum in the years since it happened. It had nothing to do with him dropping the belt in Canada. It had everything for him dropping the belt to Shawn Michaels. He even said that he'd be more than happy to drop the belt to Stone Cold in Montreal. So, no, it didn't have a goddamn thing to do with him dropping the belt in Canada. Get over it.
Well, I'll just say this. The whole impetus of the screw job comes from Medusa and the belt on Nitro. And the fact of dropping the title into the trash on television and everyone looking at that moment going, oh, shit. And Brett is 1 foot out the door and wheeling the luggage behind him when it comes time for Survivor Series. So things were in motion already in terms of the screw job. Yes, the moment itself is big. Things happened and we got the stuff like, you know, the Mr. McMahon character and, you know, the real kind of seeding points of the Attitude Era. I know that we talked last week about Austin 316 being kind of another huge moment for that aspect. So it is a seed point for that. If we want to talk about, just as a counterpoint, the pipe bomb. Hey, Rock, what was CM Punk doing before he laid that pipe bomb down? He was the leader of the Nexus.
Yeah.
You remember that thing that got killed when John Cena decided he was going to essentially beat the Nexus at SummerSlam, almost single-handedly at the end of the match. And Punk was kind of leader 2.0 from Wade Barrett at that point. For all intents and purposes, Punk had, he'd been the ECW champion. He had had the big gold belt by that point because he'd cashed in Money in the Bank. But did we ever really feel that CM Punk was upper echelon in WWE? Or was it that kind of thing like, okay, he's had some of the title runs with that second world championship belt, but I don't know if he could be the guy.
And at that point, if you remove the pipe bomb, would CM Punk's legacy even be a thing? And would people be chanting his name for a decade to return?
Well, that's what I was going to say. The thing about CM Punk, like, I understand Montreal and its effect on wrestling as a whole. I get that. I recognize it. With CM Punk, the pipe bomb started the next anti-authority figure, and it was different from Stone Cold and Mr. McMahon because that was antagonistic 1v1. This is Punk going up against the Machine. With Austin, it was always McMahon as the focal point. Yes, he'd fight, you know, villain of the week in terms of The Rock or The Undertaker or whoever got placed in front of him, but it was always Mr. McMahon was his focal point. With CM Punk, yes, Hunter was in the crosshairs of it, but Punk was fighting McMahon, he was fighting Laurinaitis, he was fighting the entire system, and he really truly became that kind of voice of the voiceless because you had an entire contingency of wrestling fan, not just in WWE, but looked at him taking on WWE from the inside, essentially, and like, yeah, I want to support this. Like, I'm with him. And yes, Summer of Punk was not what we all thought it should have been, could have been, etc. You were cutting out for a second.
If there's no pipe bomb, there is no Daniel Bryan yes movement. There right. is no Shield. You look at the ramifications it has when you remove the pipe bomb. Well,
and the thing that you also had was, remember, 432 days, if I remember correctly, that no, if I think it was 400 plus.
434.
434. And yet from that, we had the whole, you know, he wasn't main eventing. And you started to get Punk as, you know, unhappy with what was going on. And then he, you know, and that brought about working injured and the things that came from that. Until ultimately it was CM Punk is released because he walked out on Raw. And the movement that came from that also fueled 10 years of CM Punk chants across wrestling. Not just WWE, but in TNA, in AEW, in everything. And it also got to the point where we were sitting there going, we don't know if we're ever going to see CM Punk again. And then that night hit on AEW. And yes, it was telegraphed miles away. But when you heard Cult of Personality come on in Chicago, and you heard that fan, and I mean, Rock can tell you, we both sat there, and when that music hit, and he came out, both of us went, holy shit, that pop. Like, that's, they legitimately blew the roof off of that venue. And then Punk started to get that career renaissance. And yes, he got hurt. Yes, things went really badly in AEW. But then hell froze over and he came back to WWE. And since then, he's had a pretty good run here too. And all of that, I think everything that happens with CM Punk and, you know, giving AEW that elevation in terms of signing CM Punk and giving them, I would say, a sense of legitimacy doesn't happen without the pipe bomb. I think the pipe bomb has, like, I understand the Attitude Era. I understand the Monday Night War and everything that came from it. And then I feel like the Attitude Era died away. And then you got the Ruthless Aggression and things changed again. I think we're still living in a post-pipe bomb era that's still having effects. So in that respect, I would erase the screw job.
So there you go. Good discussion.
Excuse me.
But that is our show. Next week, we talk all about the Royal Rumble. Remember, the Royal Rumble entry contest is open. Say I'm in. You'll be joined. We'll make the picks and the drawing next week on WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio. There is no post-show tomorrow night because they're airing at 3 p.m. Eastern. We will talk about Monday Night Raw Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack. CW Radio is back live this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio, the Royal Rumble Preview. That Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.network. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use carrier code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner Tim.
Yes, sir. I take it that's my cue to tell everybody to follow me at Flames Forums because that's where I'm there. I post every day. I post about a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just hockey. There's more. Some of it's entertaining. Follow me at Flames Forums on X.
Right?
Yeah, you can find me across various social media, either at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That is Twitter / X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, all of those.
All right, that's it. We're done. Tim, send us home.
Well, everybody, that'll do it next week, like Rock said, all about the Royal Rumble. And once again, all you got to do is let us know that you're in by saying, I'm in. You can hit me up on X. You can hit up at Wild Talk Radio, at WTR Sunday Night. You can hit all of the socials on Facebook. If you want to participate, and if you want a Royal Rumble entry number, let us know that you're in by tweeting out or tagging us and saying, I'm in. That's all you got to do. That being said, go do your homework and brush your teeth and go to bed.
WildTalkRadio.com.